As we begin today, I would like us to kind of roll back to the beginning of Revelation chapter 16 and have like a restart to our look at the seven wrath events that are listed in this particular vision of the long war between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent or the dragon. Because I would like to pull in the wording a little bit better from the seven parallel wrath events that happened in the previous vision stream, the vision of the seven-sealed scroll of God's final wrath. And in doing so, I'm going to read out of my own translation in my Living in the Last Days Prophecy seminar notes, which are available in the PDF resource section of intotheword.net, so you can find them there for your own use. But in the actual printed version of this, I have boldfaced the words in English that represent the exact same words between these two passages, so that you can see very clearly that they are parallel, that these are not distinct from one another. They are happening at the same time. And the explanation that I've given several times now to help understand it is that in the temple complex of John's earlier life, because the temple was defunct by the time the book of Revelation took place, the pouring out of incense inside the building, inside the shrine building, was signaled by the blowing of a trumpet outside the building in conjunction with the offering of the Lamb of Sacrifice. We're talking about during the time of prayer that happened two times each day. So the trumpet is the signal, and the bowl is part of the response to that signal. And so they happen pretty much simultaneously. All right, so that with that under your belt, let's quickly review the first few wrath events here in Revelation 16. So Revelation 16:1 says, I heard a loud voice from the sanctuary, that's the heavenly sanctuary, saying to the seven angels, proceed, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath into the earth. The first came and poured out his bowl into the earth. And there came into being an evil and hurtful ulcer upon the men having the mark of the beast and worshiping his image. So again, let me emphasize from this vision stream, it is exceptionally clear that these wrath events are targeted against those in the beast kingdom who have voluntarily taken the mark of the beast, regardless of God's public service announcement by an angel, that anyone that does so is done. There is no coming back in repentance from that. So they did it, and now, first wrath event, they get hit with a painful sore, more likely than not, on either their right hand or on their forehead, wherever it was that they voluntarily took that mark. Now, that is exactly parallel in the wording of the first trumpet, which says this, Revelation 18:7, the first trumpeted, and there came into being hail and fire, having been mixed with blood, and was thrown into the earth. A third of the earth, a third of the trees, and all the green grass was burned up. So the first wrath event hits the land. It hits the people living in the kingdom of the beast, having taken the mark, but it also does great damage to the vegetation within his kingdom. A significant majority of that vegetation, or minority of that vegetation, is burned up. Now, second wrath event, Revelation 16:3. The second came and poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like a dead man's blood, and every kind of living soul died, the things in the sea. And when we go to the parallel in Revelation 8:8, the second angel trumpeted, and something like a great mountain blazing with fire was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures in the sea died, the things having souls, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So you can hear, without even seeing it written down, I think, the parallel language between these two passages. The second wrath event hits the saltwater sea, and it kills all types of creatures that are in the sea, but it takes out a third of the total of those creatures. And it also takes out a third of the ships that are in the affected zone. So that's a significant minority. And it is visualized as the water turning blood red. And I suggested when we were back in Revelation chapter 8 that this might actually be some sort of red tide event where you've got this algae or plankton bloom that uses up all the available oxygen in the water and it causes the creatures to die. And that is a massive, massive plague against the sea. Third event, Revelation 16:4. The third poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and it became blood. Now, the parallel is in Revelation 8:10. The third trumpeted, and a great star blazing like a lamp fell on out of heaven upon a third of the rivers and the streams of water. The name of the star was called Absinthe. A third of the waters became absinthe, and many men died from the waters because they had been made bitter. Now, absinthe is the actual Greek word, and it has to do with a plant that is very bitter. And so this is a strike on the fresh water supply inside the kingdom of the beast. Back in Revelation 16, verse 5, there is additional commentary. I heard the angel of the waters saying. Now, is that the angel that poured out the bowl? It's a little bit hard for me to pin that one down. I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are just, one who is and who was, the Holy One, because you have judged all things. Since they poured out the blood of the saints, you have given them blood to drink. You are holy." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Yahweh Tzabaoth, true and righteous are your judgments." So we have an angelic being talking to God Almighty, saying, "That was fair. That was fair that you hit their fresh water supply, because they killed your saints, poured out their blood onto the earth." And more than likely, we're thinking specifically about the deaths of all these people that refused to take the mark because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. And so the angel says, it's fair that because they spilled your saints' blood, that you made them drink blood-like water. Bitter blood-like water. And then the altar, which is the prayer altar, which we saw the first time back with the breaking of the fifth seal, when the martyrs of all the ages past were underneath that prayer altar, and they said, "How long, O Lord, faithful and true, until you avenge us and avenge our blood upon those who are on the earth?" And the response was, a little bit longer. Specifically, once the full number of those that will die like you died, meaning a martyr's death, to die because of their testimony, then I will bring vengeance. And so that's exactly where we're at, is the wrath of God is being poured out of these bowls as it is being trumpeted in the earlier context. Now that brings us to the next fresh place for us in this study, in chapter 16, verse 8, the fourth wrath event. The fourth poured out his bowl upon the sun. He was given the authority to burn men with fire. Now, in the parallel account, the sun is mentioned, but so are the moon and the stars. What it says there is this, Revelation 8:12. The fourth angel trumpeted, and a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were stricken, so that a third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine a third of it, and the night likewise. And so we have all of the major astronomical lights affected in the previous vision stream. They are one-third less bright. And I told you at the time, I think it's because the atmosphere is somehow being affected, because the atmosphere is what determines how much light, visible light, reaches planet Earth's surface and therefore our eyes. But here in the current vision stream in chapter 16, this is what happens specifically to the sun. Verse 9 of chapter 16. The men were burned with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, having authority over these blows, and didn't repent to give him glory. So the men that are burned are those that have taken the mark of the beast. So this is, again, specifically targeted against the rebellious human beings on planet Earth. Their response in getting this intense sunburn is not repentance. It is to slander God even more because he was doing this. He was causing this to happen. And so it's his fault, you know. So that gives you some insight into their absolute hard-heartedness and the fact that they are not going to repent ever. They made their bed and they will die in it. Now the question arises naturally, how is it if the sun is one-third less bright in the fourth trumpet that it could be parallel to a sun that is so much more intense that it burns people in the bowls? And the answer is not all that hard, and every last one of us have experienced it. You can go out, let's say to the beach, on a very cloudy day, and the sun will be less bright than usual because there's clouds in the way. But you can still get a nasty sunburn. And the reason that's possible is because the rays that cause sunburn are invisible. And so I think what we see here between the two events, the two wrath events being described differently, is that in the one, we're talking about visible light. The sun, moon, and stars will be one-third less bright than usual. But in the other account, the chapter 8 account, excuse me, chapter 16 account, we're talking about the invisible rays of the sun, the UV and X-ray rays that can have an impact upon a person's body. Now, chapter number 8, at this point, is where we first meet the eagle character that's flying around in midheaven saying, "Alas, alas, alas, for those living upon the earth due to the rest of the soundings of the trumpets of the three angels about to trumpet." So we have got through the first four, which are pretty bad, but the next three are worse, and they are further impactful upon those that have taken the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 16, verse number 12. The sixth poured out his bowl, and I need to pause here for a moment because I might have, I got to check my notes, make sure I didn't goof this up, and I did. I need to get the fifth first. My apologies. Chapter 16, verse 10. The fifth poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened. So this is very helpful to what we're working on right now, because here we can see that it is the beast leader's kingdom that's being assailed by all of this judgment, by all of this wrath. The wrath is not generically against all people. It's not random. It is concentrated. It is focused upon a very specific group, those that took the mark of the beast. And this is exactly like the 10 plagues in the Exodus story. All of those plagues were targeted against Pharaoh and his kingdom and those Egyptians who were in cahoots with him. The Israelis were excused from all of that wrath. The Israelis were immune to all of those plagues. And so that's what we're seeing here in the story. Now, the Revelation 9 passage has a little bit more information about how the kingdom of the beast was darkened. And you may remember this. Revelation 9, verse 1. The fifth angel trumpeted, and I saw a star having fallen from heaven into the earth. And the key of the well of the abyss was given to him. He opened the well of the abyss, and smoke went up out of the well like the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and atmosphere were darkened by the smoke of the well. So we know where the darkness of the fifth bowl came from. It came from the smoke that pours out of the newly opened abyss. Now, what's the abyss? It's the place where specifically bad fallen angels of the past have been kept in confinement. And so they are allowed to come out, and they come out in the form of these creatures we read about in Revelation 9. They look like locusts, but they've got stings like scorpions, and they've got heads like people with ladies-like hair. It's all very wild description there. And I just kind of shortcutted it and said, these are demonic beings who are given a temporary parole out of the abyss, and they are allowed to attack not grass, not vegetation, because they're not locusts, not really. They're demonic beings. They are allowed to attack those who don't have the seal of God on their forehead, or as we would say in the context of Revelation 16, They are directed to attack those who have taken the mark of the beast on their forehead and on their hand. And they torment these people for 5 months. That Revelation 9 is the only place in the 3.5 year period where we have a specific time frame for one of the wrath events. And this is what's led me to believe that all 7 of the wrath events probably take place in about 6 month period. And you also remember, or you should, that these locust demons can't kill the people. In fact, the people will seek death, but it will elude them. They won't be able to die. My translation goes, they will desire to die, but death will flee from them. And we're not exactly sure how those mechanisms will take place, but we can be certain that will be the case. And then Revelation 16 jumps in on that idea that the people with the mark of the beast are going to be in intense pain during this darkness phase of the fifth bowl. Revelation 16:10 says, they were gnawing their tongues out of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their ulcers, and did not repent of their actions. So this all kind of fits together, as you can see. It's all very parallel. These guys are being tormented in the midst of all this darkness in the kingdom for 5 months. They're being attacked, stung by these demonic beings. They can't die. They wish they could. They'll be gnawing their pain, their tongues, wanting to have some sort of distraction from the pain. And even in the midst of all this, they still don't repent. They don't regret taking the mark of the beast, because they were warned ahead of time. If you take it, you're done. And they took it anyway. And so this is usually the place where I remind people, we Christians have been taught by Scripture, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we should be merciful and empathetic and sympathetic and kind and loving toward everyone around us. And it tends that when we see bad things happening to people, even when they're bad people, we still kind of feel bad about that. And so we're going to have that tendency here. But we need to remind ourselves, these guys are not innocent. These are not just random people on the street during the final 3.5 years that are being struck with these things. These are the people that, in spite of God's angelic warning to every last one of them, in clear-cut language, do not take the mark of the beast or you will face the eternal wrath of God. They took it anyway. And so there can be no pity for these folks. We should be praying for whoever they are before the choice comes up, that they will make the proper choice and refuse the mark. That's what you should really pray about if you're going to pray about these people at all. Now we're ready for the sixth wrath event. We got about 3 minutes left. Here it goes. Revelation chapter number 16. The sixth poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water dried up so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now that is parallel to Revelation 9, starting at verse 13. The sixth angel trumpeted, and I heard one of the horns of the golden altar before God, so that's the prayer altar again, saying to the sixth angel having the trumpet, release the four angels who have been bound upon the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, the year, were released so that they could kill a third of men. And so these four angels are not chained. They are restrained. They were restrained at the very beginning of the story of the final wrath of God, that they could not allow any bad things to happen to planet Earth until the 144,000 were marked. Now, once the 144,000 marked individuals were dead and in the presence of the Lamb, now these angels are going to be released to do their job, which is to bring judgment upon a remaining third of humanity, which is apparently a very large portion of those that have taken the mark of the beast. The four angels at the great river Euphrates are the same as the kings of the East. In Bible vocabulary, the East is the Middle East. It's not the Orient, as in China and Japan and Korea and all those places. It is Mesopotamia southward. That's the East. And so these angels have been stationed by God at the river Euphrates, I think probably not very far from the city of Babylon. And at this particular hour, on this particular day of this particular month, in this particular year, they are told, execute. And they go out, and using 200 million other angels on angelic horses, they carry it out. And they end up executing as many people that belong to the beast leader as the beast leader has been responsible for killing at the very first portion of the final 3.5 years.